Welcome to our Saturday simulcast live from the Memorial Stadium press box, the legendary Tom Dienhardt, live from Martinsville, the home of John Wooden. We do all produce shows by the, at least on I-37. I think we're maybe up a little bit north of Martinsville now. A big thank you to Haley Karpik, my daughter, who's doing the driving here. And also a big thanks to the Union Club Hotel. Some happy Purdue fans up there tonight. Tom Dienhardt, you've been doing this for a long time, have watched Purdue football for a long time. Yes, Purdue had a championship in 2000. Today they had another one. Obviously, the opportunity to win a West Division championship, get to the opportunity to play in the Big Ten championship against Michigan. Can't minimize that, even though it wasn't a work of art today, a 30-16 victory, but Purdue gets the job done, and there is reason to celebrate in Boilermaker land.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. I talked to you before the game just to get your perspective on the magnitude of this game. And, you know, it's not hyperbole to say it was one of the biggest games in Purdue football history. I mean, you go back to the 2000 Indiana game in Ross-Ade Stadium. Purdue needed to win to clinch the Big Ten to go to the Rose Bowl. That was a huge day. Boilermaker fans, I'm sure, remember. And then you fast forward to 22 years to today. And the chance, Alan, to not only get the bucket or to keep the bucket, but you get a chance to win the Big Ten West for the first time ever and to play in the Big Ten championship game for the first time ever. So just another milepost for this program under Jeff Brohm and another feather in his cap, you know, a great opportunity obviously looms next Saturday in Lucas Oil Stadium. It's a big task to beat Michigan, but still, Alan, just one of the high water marks in this program's long history.
Yeah, you know, you get a chance to do what it took today. Did not start out well for Purdue. Mm-hmm. Donovan Williams in a situation where he gets hurt, but Indiana scores early. Looks like that Purdue was going to have a hard time dealing with that option offense. That changed with his injury. But I thought also took Purdue a while to kind of get going, really took it to the after intermission before the Boilermaker offense really got rolling. But when it did, it really took over in the third quarter and much into the fourth quarter to get the job done for that two-touchdown victory.
Yeah, you're right. 7-3 at halftime, Alan. Purdue, of course, scored a field goal on its very first drive of the game and was shut out the rest of that first half. And this was an Indiana defense that came in at or near the bottom in just about every significant category. 34 points a game they were allowing, Alan, and Purdue only mustered 3 in the first half. So there was a lot of concern, you're right. And you mentioned the injury to Dexter Williams. The Indiana quarterback was a big turning point. I think we all can agree, right? Because we saw it, I saw it, the listeners saw it, that this offense for Indiana had a little edge to it with him running that option and just being elusive and keeping that ground game humming. So he hurts a leg, in comes Connor Basilak, and Indiana's offense never really found a rhythm again, I didn't think. And second half, we saw the Purdue offense sort of come to life, right? We saw Aiden O'Connell settle down. We saw Devin Mockaby get more involved catching the football and then running the football. And we saw, you know, the big play. We saw one big play in the first half from Charlie Jones-Allen in that 60-yard touchdown catch early in the fourth quarter to give Purdue, I think, a 2-touchdown lead. Was a big one. So that Purdue offense came to life the two final quarters of the game to really save Purdue's bacon today, I thought.
Yeah, no question. When you look at what happened, Aiden O'Connell, 18 for 29, 290 yards, 2 touchdowns. A key today, without questions, Purdue's inability did not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Yes, they had a flurry of penalties at the run at challenging times. Devin Mockaby, also 5 catches, really strong in the passing game. I'm going to start with him. What an amazing story, Devin Mockaby, just to do what he just kind of sets the tone for this offense. Makes it feel like even early in the game that it's got possibilities. And in the second half, Purdue really went to him to make the difference.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Brohm called him a difference maker in the postgame press conference. It's that simple. He's a difference maker. You see him with the ball in his hands. And he's the kind of guy our mothers could pick out and say, that guy is special. He's good. He gets through holes, Alan. He's elusive. He can cut. He's just got a knack, an extra sense. And you know what? You know what else he's good at, Alan? Is he plays hard. He runs hard. He's hard to tackle. He doesn't die easily, as they say. And now he's catching the ball too, right? And he's just special. And there's no other back on the Purdue roster of his ilk. I think he's the real key to this offense if they're going to win games, is if he's involved doing a little bit of everything. I think he's got to be the hub of the offense. If he's doing good, Payne Durham, Charlie Jones are going to have good games probably as well. So it was a nice special effort by Devin. Just missed 100 yards by 1 yard.
Yeah.
99 yards today. It was tough for him not to get that. But he had a lot of friends and a lot of family here today, Al. I stopped by their tailgate before the game, and they must have had 100 people from Boonville all up here rooting for Devin Mockabee. I call him the Boonville Mafia. So they were very happy to see the Southern Indiana product beat the team in Bloomington that didn't give Devin Mockabee the time of day when he was a high school kid.
You know, I think it was Matt Millen, somebody I was getting text during the game talking about it, that he is like a bar of soap in terms of trying to deal with him. And I think that's true. He just makes plays, and he is very elusive in the open field. Showed that again today and overcame an injury and came back in the football game too. So, you know, that's, I think, is Purdue's only ticket to only chance next week. Is if it can sustain enough, like next week's game against Michigan, is the ability to do a little bit something offensively with that running game, and he is certainly a big deal. Charlie Jones also catch a long touchdown reception second half. I think 153 yards receiving. Did I say? I mean, is that correct with the numbers? But it was right about that. Another terrific day for him, and a different kind of the storyline also with this team all year, that injury. You know, Aiden O'Connell's played with the rib all year. Charlie Jones been banged up. Devin Mockabee's been banged up. There have been many guys on defense has done that. But again, Jones came up big when they needed to today.
Yeah, you're right. Four catches for 143 yards. The 60-yarder for the touchdown we talked about, the 58-yarder in the first half was a nice play. Didn't net any points, but just sort of stretched that Indiana defense out. So, yeah, Jeff Brohm said after the game, they had no idea Charlie Jones was going to be this good. I don't think anybody realized it. They all knew about his returning skills as a punt man, a punt returner, and a kickoff return man. But nobody had seen him catch the ball like this at any of his previous stops. So, he's been everything and then some for Purdue when it comes to catching the football. Still, a few catches short of 100 for the season, but he'll probably get there on Saturday in Lucas Oil Stadium. And, real quick, too, shout out to the defense, right?
Yeah.
I think the first three or four possessions for Indiana in the second half were three and outs. And that allowed that offense to get the ball and get some points on the board, get some separation and some breathing room there. So the defense, while it had its issues, gave up a lot of yards rushing, over 200. By and large, I thought played pretty well. And Allen, very late in the game, sort of a ceiling touchdown, if you will. Corey Trice just sort of took the ball away from that Indiana receiver and scooted in from 8 yards out for a touchdown and sort of iced things off for the Boilermakers. So shout out to the defense for making some adjustments and getting some big stops to really jumpstart that team in the second half.
Yeah, Kydren Jenkins really really was effective today, I thought, throughout the course of the game. Really, really caused problems. I don't know what his numbers were exactly. I don't have them in front of me, but he was definitely in a problem for Indiana that they couldn't deal with very well. And again, that in a game that it was 30-16 and Indiana scores a garbage touchdown at the end, and the defense was good when it had to be and when Indiana had a lot of momentum. Who knows where the game would have ended up had injury not happened to Indiana quarterback in the first half, but after that it was pretty much shut down city for most of the rest of the football game.
You're right. Your leading tackler was Corey Trice and Jalen Graham, each had eight. Kydren Jenkins, OC Brothers, and Sanusi Kane each had seven. And Allen, Kydren Jenkins blocked that field goal.
Yeah.
That was big. I think Purdue was leading 17-7. And that was a big block. So Jeff Brom talked about the special teams. Thought they played very well. And Purdue needed all every phase to do its job today, and it did.
Yeah. You know, you look at the situation too, and what Purdue will face next week moving ahead to Lucas Oil. Obviously, and whipped Ohio State by a lot more than any of us anticipated. But certainly, you have to look at this as an opportunity. Purdue will be more than a two-touchdown underdog next week. But again, it's an opportunity that you can't pass up if you're Purdue.
Yeah, you know, no pressure, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure today on Purdue. After Nebraska pulled the upset on Friday at Iowa, the spotlight swung to Purdue. The hot potato was in their lap. They controlled their destiny. Could they do it on their rivals' home field? Rivalry weekend, bucket game, 10-point favorite. They delivered, right? The tables are turned this coming week, obviously. Michigan's going to be a heavy favorite, like you said. They're supposed to annihilate Purdue, right? They're supposed to play in the college football playoff. They got their visions cast very high. So Purdue could play pressure-free, and we'll see what that does for them. So sometimes that's a nice position to be in.
Yeah, you know, you look at where Purdue may end up. Obviously, if the Boilermakers can pull the upset, which would be one of the biggest ones the college football season, if Purdue gets the job done next week, they would end up in Pasadena. That's unbelievable, as one can imagine. But if not, certainly looks like Tampa is a good possibility. If you don't get the win next week, we'll wait to find out the day after that Big Ten championship game. But the point is, you really are playing with house money if you're Purdue in this situation. Yeah. And I think that sometimes when Jeff Brom is – I know you go back to that October evening against Ohio State, there were other factors at play. You had Rondale Moore in your roster. There's things that were different. But Jeff Brom knows how to navigate these types of games. And if I'm Michigan, you know, you're going to be looking over your shoulder a little bit of what Purdue might be able to bring to the table come Saturday night in Indianapolis.
Yeah, you're right. They haven't played since 2017, Allen. Jeff Brom's first year at Purdue, I think it was homecoming. Michigan won 28-10. Of course, that was the day Harbaugh made a big fuss about the Purdue locker room.
That's right.
The lack of air conditioning, if you remember that, became a little bit of a national story. Yeah, there's a lot of respect Jeff Brom has for Michigan. But, again, a great opportunity for Purdue here going into this environment. Like you said, it would be a big upset. And if Purdue does do it, like you said, Al, looks like they would go to the Rose Bowl. Now, you and I talked before the game. We both talked to Jerry Palm, our buddy. And you would think, now, again, these games aren't based on merit, record, who you beat at all. But you would think the fact Purdue at least got to Indianapolis, they would have a good shot to land them the very least in Tampa for the old Outback Bowl. Now, Penn State looks like they're probably headed to Orlando. And the hope was Penn State could get a New Year's Six Bowl bid in the Cotton Bowl. That probably is not going to happen. So if that doesn't happen, they'll probably go to Orlando, is the thinking. And then Purdue would have a good shot to go to Tampa. Of course, Illinois and Iowa could probably make good cases for being in Tampa as well. But again, you think Purdue has a good shot for Tampa? If not Tampa, Allen, probably Charlotte, and at the very worst, maybe New York.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty clear, because you have to look at this. You're right. The Big Ten really does make the call, but as Jerry's explained, and we've talked in the past, they will take the recommendation of those bowls, and you would have to think Purdue hasn't played in Florida since 2006. They haven't played on New Year's Day or a New Year's Day-esque bowl since 2003. January 1st, 2004, when they lost to Georgia in overtime in a Capital One, what was the Capital One Bowl / Citrus Bowl. So all those things, I think, put Purdue in a very good position One would think to play no worse in Tampa. And that would the Reliant Quest Bowl. I'm having a hard time. It's going to be the first year of that name. The old Outback Bowl would be played on January the 2nd at noon. Purdue happens to have a men's basketball game at the exact same time against Rutgers. That will probably get moved in some way if they can with respect to TV. But again, all problems. That's assuming Purdue loses. And I guess that's the thing. It's why not? If you're Purdue, you go into this game saying, why not? What the heck? You know, you got a chance to put a little bit of pressure on Michigan. Michigan's the one that's got something to lose in this game.
Yeah, a lot to lose. Of course, Jeff Brohm has coached Purdue in Lucas Oil Stadium, right, Alan?
Yes, he has.
Very first game of his Purdue career against his alma mater in Lucas Oil. And the fans remember the spirited effort Purdue gave that day against Lamar Jackson and the Cardinal in a loss. So he get to take his team back there, what, six or some odd years later. So, yeah, just exciting, isn't it, Alan? See, I mean, you've sat in the seat a long time, and you've seen a lot of good football and a lot of bad football. And to see the program have this at least upward trajectory right now, it's pretty inspiring, and it's got to energize the fan base just to see the buzz around the program. Attendance was really good this year. Now Purdue's still keeping it going, Alan. Going to Indianapolis, you'd think there'd be a big turnout of Purdue fans. Win or lose, just to have that experience, I would suspect we're still going to see a lot of Boilermaker fans in Lucas Oil Saturday night just to be part of a very unique event Purdue's never been a part of before.
Yes, phone was blowing up after the game with requests, not requests, but just wanting for information on tickets. That'll be available for the Purdue Sports. There will be a lot. There'll be tickets available. I don't think anybody's going to get shut out that wants to go to this game. They've sold it out in the past, but typically not, and there's always been a few thousand tickets left. Now, there were obviously other storylines today, and a very emotional Jeff Brohm. You were in the post-game press conference when asked about Aiden O'Connell. We're not really at liberty to talk a lot about what the situation is, but it is a difficult one. And yet, Jeff Brohm, very, very emotional about that, about his six-year quarterback.
Yeah, well, let's just call it a personal matter. Yeah, I think that's the best way to phrase it right now. I'm sure more will come out when Aiden and others are ready to talk about it. But he was very emotional on the sideline after the game. And this was the quote from Jeff Brohm after the game to the media. He just said, hey, he's got a lot going on right now. Can't say anything. So he's emotional for a lot of reasons. He played really hard, stepped up to the plate when his teammates needed. So again, just know that Aiden's dealing with a lot from a personal family matter. And as always, everybody can use thoughts and prayers. And I'm sure Aiden and his whole crew would appreciate any you could send their way as well.
You know, I thought the thing about with him today, again, he was struggling a little bit in the first half, wasn't accurate in a couple passes. And whether that had anything to do with it, I can't speak to that. But I thought it was really a good thing for the Purdue offense, because in the second half, Purdue got into some rhythm. Throwing the football, all of a sudden he started finding some folks, especially Charlie Jones, but others. Devin Mockaby really played a big role in the passing game in terms of in the third quarter, catching three or four passes on one drive there that I think Purdue scored on. You know, again, that's what you need going into a game like Michigan, is confidence and rhythm if you're going to stand a chance against the Wolverines.
Yeah, you're right. You're almost going to have to play a perfect game yourself. Certainly you can't beat yourself, right?
Yeah, no question. Yeah,
I know Michigan creates a raft of mistakes, and maybe you can score on defense or special teams. It's going to take that perfect mix for Purdue to be able to pull this off. So who knows? Like I said, we've seen crazy things happen in the past. I've been to some of these championship games over my career that have just been stunners. Again, I remember watching Texas A&M beat Kansas State in 1998. Right. Yeah. And, of course, that's what sent Kansas State to the Alamo Bowl to play Purdue.
Ruined their season.
Yeah, I mean, these things happen every few years. There's a big upsets in these title games. And this will be Michigan's second year in this game, Alan. And like I said, they're thinking college football playoff and national championship, right? So I'm sure there'll be plenty of Michigan fans there. Don't get me wrong, but it's not that far of a drive for most of their fan base if they're in Michigan to get to Indianapolis. So again, just a good opportunity for Purdue as the underdog, like I said, and the defense is going to have to play well. I think in some ways, Alan, maybe Purdue's a little bit better matchup against Michigan than Ohio State. Michigan's more of a 1985 Big Ten team. They're just going to line up and try to punch you in the nose and out physical you. And Purdue's been pretty solid against the run. I know that sounds funny to say when you give up 200 yards today at IU, but by and large, they've done pretty well with their run fits. Their strength is their defensive line. So maybe they can at least not get totally run over by Michigan's offensive run game and control it to a degree and help them keep them in the game, because Ohio State, Al, has got so many athletes and they're so fast. I saw it last year in Columbus when Purdue lost 59-31. I mean, they're like NFL players all over the field there, and they hit big play after big play, and they have the running back. So they're a tough matchup. And I'm not saying Michigan's not a tough matchup, but they're a little bit of a different matchup from a pure athletic standpoint than Ohio State.
Yeah, it was interesting today, though, and I would agree with you. Maybe the numbers today belie that a little bit, because Michigan beat Ohio State on big plays. And what's amazing, and this is not surprising coming from both Ohio State and Michigan, Donovan Edwards, who had literally gained about half of his season yards today, but he was huge today, 216 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns in just 22 attempts, and had a number of big plays, had an 85-yard run. And that was the thing that was interesting. Michigan beat Ohio State up top, beat them throwing on chunk plays. Very, very different approach than what the Wolverines, what you would expect from them. Maybe they got it out of their system. Who knows? But that's what's going to be a fun thing this week. And we're back at a regular football week. We got another extra week of that. A lot of coverage on the site. Don't know exactly how Jeff Brom's schedule will be this week, but one would think we'll have access to him on Monday, probably practice Tuesday and Wednesday, and then we'll see what happens down the stretch. But all things.
Alan, I think I did confirm they're going to have the Monday press conference at 11. We may get some players on Monday as well. So it'll probably be, like you said, a pretty normal week access-wise.
Yep, going to be a fun week for Purdue. And it will be a fun story to tell come Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Game will be nationally televised on Fox. We'll have a lot of coverage all this week. We'll have a lot of basketball coverage. Obviously, Brian is traveling the globe. It seems like he'll be in Portland tomorrow or Sunday for the Duke matchup, Tallahassee on Wednesday for Purdue, Florida State. Then Purdue comes back next week at home to play Minnesota's first conference game next Sunday. So a lot of Purdue hoops on the slate as well. So, Tom, as always, your work is not done. It never seems to be. And you've got a lot more to talk about as we break down Indiana, not only the Indiana game, but what's ahead for Purdue, Michigan as well. So thanks again for everything. Safe travels back. We're almost to Indianapolis, so we're looking forward to the rest of our trip back. We'll get this posted and have a lot of fun with that, as it's a good night to be a Boilermaker fan, certainly for Purdue fans, as Purdue gets that 14-point win, keeps the bucket in West Lafayette, and that, by definition, if you're a Purdue fan, is a good thing.
Yes, it is, Alan. A big win, 30-16. Keep the bucket, punch your ticket to Naptown, get win number 8, start dreaming about bowl games. You talked about basketball. Yeah, if you're a Boilermaker fan, this is you're standing in tall cotton right now, right?
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, and thank the Union Club Hotel as well, and the Boiler Up Bar and the 811 Bistro, all great places to visit if you're in West Lafayette and to frequent if you're on campus. All right, Tom, safe travels back to West Lafayette. We'll see you. We'll have more from our Saturday simulcast, probably a very late one, probably a Sunday version next week, I would guess. After the Purdue-Michigan game for the Big Ten Championship. So we'll look forward to that. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you for watching, processing our information. And a reminder that you can become a member. The thousands that have already done so, for $1, you can become a member of goldenblack.com. We've switched platforms to the On3 platform and really have enjoyed and been pleased with that move to date. And we'll look forward to having all our all our readers and subscribers join us as we get into not only bowl season, but Big Ten basketball season. Take care, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, and we'll see you next week on our Saturday simulcast.